We're here starting your day right with Marketing Espresso, your marketing caffeine hit of the day.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Marketing Espresso. I hope that you are well today. As always, thank you for listening. I am super grateful. And today I have another really great guest for you. I am chatting with the amazing Erin Huckle, the founder of Chuckle Communications. She is in the business of raising the profiles of her clients through proactive PR, amazing award entries, and compelling written content. She works with innovative, ethical, and creative small business leaders to find their voices and tell their stories. Her focus is on helping clients connect with their ideal client customers by turning up where they hang out. Erin has almost 20 years of experience in PR. She's worked across sectors including tourism, IT, major events, not-for-profits, tech, and publishing. She still gets a huge buzz out of helping her clients get featured in the media and loves celebrating the awesomeness of her clients through the power of PR. She's based in Wollongong. She's a mum of three to all boys, right? So she's very busy. And in her spare time, she loves any opportunity for a moment of peace, ideally with a head in a book. I am so excited to introduce Erin to you. This conversation I think is fantastic. I know a lot of people think about how can I raise my profile? How can I get seen in the media? So this is definitely something that you're going to take some real nuggets out of this episode. As always, it's a pleasure to bring this guest to you. Reach out, chat with Erin. She is just so lovely. And I hope that you love this episode. Erin, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so grateful you have gifted us your time.
Oh, thanks so much, Beck. It's great to be here.
We connected, what? I feel like we've almost been connected for a year now.
Yeah, it probably is nearly a year.
Yeah. And instantly I was drawn to you because I was like, oh, she knows what she's talking about. And also, you were like in such an area that I'm so curious about. And I think that 100% everyone listening to this is going to be like, I need to know this woman. And today we are going to talk all things PR. So talk to me about PR. Just lay it on me.
Lay it on. So PR, I feel like PR often gets a bit of a bad rap. You know,
it does.
People think it's sort of really people having, I don't know, really fluffy interactions or throwing money at agencies and not getting great results or putting on fancy parties and, you know, a la Samantha Jones and Sex in the City, you know, and right PR where we're all swanning around in designer clothes. And
what, you don't do that?
Even in my younger days, that wasn't really my brand of PR. But really PR, you know, at its basic is around, you know, creating new ways to interact with your audience and building your profile. And it doesn't have to mean getting on TV or, you know, getting national coverage in the media, although obviously that's really great. It could just be really targeted, you know, opportunities coming on podcasts like this one, coming on, you know, a podcast that's really specific to the niche that you're focusing on. It could be writing a really strong guest article for a website that isn't necessarily the mainstream, but it talks to your audience. So yeah. It comes into understanding who you are, who you want to connect with, and then looking at creative ways to do that outside of things like paid advertising and other marketing channels.
Yeah. I actually, generally when I sit down with customers, I'm like, PR is such an important part because generally, especially if you're being really specific about it, you can target people that already have your audience and, yeah. You know, you can kind of grow that way. And also it allows people to get a feel for who you are, which I think marketing can, but doesn't always. Because, you know, when we market, it's coming from us. So people are like, oh, you know, of course they're going to say good things about themselves. But when you're, you know, when you're doing PR, it actually is raising that profile. And you were going to talk to us today about how to do it in a non-cringeworthy way, which I'm a bit excited for.
Exactly, because I think people do feel a bit cringy about putting themselves out there. But as you said, it comes down to that know, like, and trust. You know, it's that third-party endorsement. It's building your reputation by having other people trust you as an expert, by having other people want to share your story, having other people say great things about you rather than just saying them about yourself, you know, which is also part of it. But, you know, it gives you that kind of that level of trust and helps build that authority. And I always liken it to when I go to buy a bottle of wine, I go into the bottle shop and I'm always drawn to the bottles with, you know, shiny medals on them and yes. You know, some kind of other endorsement other than them saying this is a delicious bottle of wine. So PR is a little bit the same. You know, if you go to someone's website and you see that they've been featured in really reputable publications or you read an article by them and you really resonate with what they're saying, and then you think, well, I'm going to, you know, follow them on Instagram or connect with them on LinkedIn and find out more. It just sort of brings in that human element when it's done well. And yeah, it just helps expand that audience, like you say, because you're not building your own audience from scratch all the time, even though that is part of the marketing mix. PR kind of gives you that instant access to established audiences.
Yeah. And it lets you collaborate with some pretty amazing people as well sometimes.
Absolutely.
which is what I've found. So if someone was starting their PR journey, what would be like a little tip to like do that, like DIY?
So DIY, I always say the most basic thing you need to do is to have a bio about yourself that's ready to go. And it could be your LinkedIn profile, or it could be ideally like a separate 100-word bio about yourself, so that you're not starting from scratch every time you have an interaction with someone. You know, having that little about yourself done, it can actually be, sometimes it's the hardest part of piece of the puzzle. You know, it's really hard to write 100 words about yourself. And again, it can feel a bit cringy, but it's about, you know, positioning yourself as an expert in whatever that subject area might be and giving it to whoever you're contacting as a way to sort of, I guess, warm them up as a potential partner or collaborator or, you know, someone that's going to help share your story. So if you are starting from scratch when you're connecting with, say, a podcast host or a journalist, having something on hand that you can link to, whether it's attached as a PDF or linking to your LinkedIn profile, just to give them a little bit of background about you if they're fresh to you. I find that that is a really basic essential people should have. There's nothing worse than not having something and then someone does say, great, yeah, come on my podcast, I need a 100-word bio from you. And then you kind
of... That was actually my experience. I will hold my hand up and say, naughty marketer over here. Because when I started out, I didn't anticipate that people would have an interest in me. I know that's silly now, like looking back, but, you know, I sort of started so haphazardly and I totally own that. And I had no concept that someone would ask me to be on their podcast.
Yeah.
And they did. And I was like, oh, I was so nervous too. The first time I got asked, I pretty much wanted to vomit like the whole hour before the interview. I was like, I'm going to be sick. Like, and then they asked me for my bio. I'm like, oh, what now?
Yeah, leave that one with me.
Yeah. But I will say one of the things I did from the get-go that I think, and you can tell me if this was a really good step, I got a professional photo shoot.
Yeah. I think that has to go hand in hand with that bio. Like, I think having those two things really just sets you up to come across as an expert and be ready to sort of jump on those opportunities when they come up. You know, there is nothing worse than having a photo that is out of date or just doesn't represent you as, you know, the business owner you want to come across as. Most podcasts will then, you know, promote you as a guest and they'll share that photo. You know, it needs to be a photo that you're happy with. And again, it comes down to, you know, I know it's a little bit scary sometimes, but in this day and age, we have to share our face. We have to show up as people because people connect with people. People buy from people. So, and PR is the same, you know, it's about relationships. So another key tip that I would recommend to your listeners is to follow and engage with the people that you would love to be featured by. So it might be that you really want to be on a business website. Like, for example, Forbes Australia has just launched as a new business magazine and website in Australia. So if that's the kind of publication you would love to be featured in, then start following them on LinkedIn, sign up to their newsletter, connect with their journalists on LinkedIn, comment on the stories that they share, you know, engage with them because a lot of it is about relationships. And if you then down the track contact them and say, I've been reading what you've been writing about and I feel like I've got something to add, or I thought this might be a really interesting angle for your readers, you've already got a bit of a warm connection there.
Yeah.
Not necessarily besties. You don't hang out every week, but they've seen your name and they know that you actually have an interest in what they do. And the same goes for things like podcasts. You know, listen to the podcasts. You know, some people talk about the rule of five or rule of 10, but, you know, whoever you want to pitch to, try and listen to five episodes or read five stories or actually engage with that outlet so that you understand what they might be interested in. And the other thing to make it less cringy is rather than thinking of it as a pitch to sell yourself, it's really a pitch to look at how you can help their audience.
Yeah.
What value can you offer their audience? You know, what problem could you help them solve? Or what skill could you help them with, or, you know, what interesting take on a topic could you offer that they might not have heard before, rather than feeling like, oh gosh, I'm just pushing myself forward and it feels really salesy and pushy. It's not that at all. It's about helping people.
Yeah, I love that. And that's why I think sometimes also if you have a topic that you know they talk about or they're interested in or their audience would be interested in, I would pitch with that topic. Like, I'd be like, hey, I've just written, you know, this piece, this article on blah, you know, I'd love to come and talk to your audience about it, or something like that. I think, yeah, leading from that place of service is always a big win in any kind of marketing.
Definitely. Yeah. Because it's about, you know, that offering value and helping people. And it is an exchange. You know, in return, you'll get exposure to their audience, which is obviously really valuable, but you're offering them some value as well. So it's a nice, fair exchange. The other thing that you can try, you know, if you are a strong writer or you feel like you have something to say about a certain topic and you see that a publication does publish, you know, contributions from other business people or other thought leaders, you know, you can either pitch them with an article idea and say, look, here's a potential heading and a little synopsis, which is just like a paragraph summarizing what the article would be about. Or I've had other cases where, you know, I've worked with a client and we know we've got a really strong topic and we'll actually write the article in advance and give it to them and just say, look, we've written this article. We feel like it would really resonate with your readers. Obviously, that's a bit of a risky thing to do, but sometimes when you know it's really topical, it's in the news right now, if you can give it to someone on a platter and say, look, we've already written this 800-word op-ed about this topic. It's here if you'd love to use it. If not, just let us know and we'll offer it elsewhere, kind of thing. But, you know, give your priority publication first refusal.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and at the end of the day, if no one says yes, at least you've got a great article to put on your own website or share on your own LinkedIn. Yeah. So it's not time wasted. But generally, I would get the go-ahead just from a synopsis rather than writing the full article first.
I think that's really great advice. And yeah, definitely something that, I mean, as you said, even if you write the whole article, you can repurpose that anyway. Like in my head, I'm like, please clients, write articles. This is great. Because from like a marketing point of view, I'm always looking for content, right? And one of the most frustrating things is when people can't produce content or don't want to produce content or there's no content there. And I've got a few people at the moment starting from scratch. It's like, all right, cool. We need content. Like we can't go live. We cannot do anything without content. So
yeah,
it's good. So if I wanted to engage with someone like yourself that, like, you know, is in this PR field, what does that look like? And what, like, when should you bring someone else on board? And how do you kind of, I guess, communicate to you what it is that I need for success? Like, what does that look like?
So generally when I'm starting to work with someone, one of the most important things we'll do in the beginning is have a really thorough brainstorm looking at different ideas for stories and angles. You know, even if you are a thought leadership expert or an expert in a specific field, so for example, maybe you are a child psychologist and that's your background and that's your expertise, but that actually opens you up to a huge amount of potential topics. So together we'll sit down and it's really a conversation where I will draw out from the potential client or the new client, you know, loads of different story ideas and angles. And then going through that, we can start to look at, okay, that sounds like it could work really well for this magazine, or maybe have a listen to this podcast. They often talk about parenting toddlers and the challenges that come with that, for example. Or I have another client at the moment who they create a sustainability product, but the client herself is a great thought leader around how to be more sustainable in your day-to-day life. So you now can be positioned as an expert talking about things like, you know, reducing food waste and, you know, being more sustainable in the way you run your business, that kind of thing. So it's looking at, you know, what are the thought leadership topics you could speak on, you know, really working those out in the beginning. And then someone like me will go away and look at those topics, look at the potential media targets, try and match those up. And then it's a case of, you know, contacting people, pitching, you know, and I guess the benefit of working with someone like me or any other PR consultant is we'll already have those relationships.
Yeah.
Or relationships I mentioned. Yeah.
And I think the thing that some businesses, interesting when you come to marketing, because, you know, we spoke earlier about people buy from people. And I think if we're in a business that's like, this is really relevant, I think, in the service industry, you're in a business that's, you know, you've got staff and you're busy thinking about it as a business and you forget about you.
Yeah.
And the truth is, like, we as business owners, or even as like marketers within a business or wherever we are in our careers or whatever it is that we're doing, there is opportunity there to build personal profile. And I think if you really want to grow your career or grow your business, that's an opportunity that if you miss that, it's a real shame because there's a reason that you started your business. There's a reason that your business is thriving. Or if you, you know, and building that profile is only going to draw people into your business still anyway. So I think it's a really good thing to do, regardless of whether you pay a consultant or not. You know, because I'm forever saying to people, LinkedIn, I know LinkedIn at the moment is really trying to push business pages. But the truth is LinkedIn works for people's profiles.
Exactly. And it's people connecting with people. And I think it's you're so right. I think I've seen a lot of examples recently of businesses who have done really well, but you don't actually have a connection with the founder or the CEO. You know, they don't have a presence as a person. It's very much just business led.
And most of the time, the founders have a really cool story, right?
And so often, especially with entrepreneurs who are, you know, in that sort of startup space, so often what they're creating is in response to a pain point they had. And if they had that pain point, then other people will have had the same pain point. And obviously that's why their businesses go on to succeed. But it also means people will be really interested in that, in that story. You know, why did that product come about or why did that idea come about? You know, at the end of the day, we all love stories and everyone has the potential to be a storyteller.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, well, that's been so helpful. Thank you, Erin. Thanks for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much.
I will put all your details in the show notes so that people can find you and connect with you and get their PR going, I think.
Sounds great.